Welcome back. We've got one more segment here with my dear friend and yours, Carlton Huff. And by the way, this is going to be broadcast this weekend. So happy Easter to you. I know you're a big Easter guy. I hope you have a wonderful celebration with your family and all of that and friends. I wanted to really touch on this because I think out of all of the things that, and you can pick a lot of things that are a concern about what Trump is doing, I think this particular one is probably the worst. And it's how close he's kind of getting to it, not kind of, how close he's getting to authoritarianism. For the party that loves free speech and for the party that loves, you know, don't tread on me, don't tell me what to do, boy, do they hate people who like to speak out. We can see this week their war on Harvard. The Justice Department wants like disciplinary records from students and this whole anti-DEI thing, that's disgusting. It's horrible. And like anti just about everything that all of the pillars of our country's founding would be against. You look at like Martin Luther King and all, like what's happening to that is disgusting. But slipping into authoritarianism is really, really scary because that's not something you can come back from.
I wholeheartedly agree. And just as a reference to Easter and a fun, just a little funny anecdote, for Easter, Lent, I gave up chocolate and alcohol. And one of my friends said, I don't know how you can stay sober. Right here. I said,
no.
On that one. But I can sit here and say, as far as just the slip into authoritarianism, I mean, he warned us, and we were all sitting here saying he warned us, but it's not just him, because the one thing you can sit there and say, you can have a crazy person wanting to do all these horrible things, but it is the acquiescence, and shouldn't just say acquiescence, but the endorsement of Republican voters.
Yes.
That is the biggest thing. And I can just sit here and say, Stuart Stevens, I'll give him a free book plug, but he wrote this great book, It Was All a Lie, because we convinced ourselves that it was about limited government, it was about the Constitution, it was about all these things. But you can go back and research the conservative movement back to the 1960s. It was not about what we were for, it was about what we hated.
Yeah.
I mean, they hated the hippies, they hated the sexual revolution, they hated the gay rights movement, they hated a lot of the civil rights movement. They would basically do what they needed to do to give peons to those movements. But now in the Trump era, once they got a hold of political power, we know it became about censorship. It became about burning books. It became about using the IRS to go after political adversaries, as we see they're doing with Harvard, not just withholding government funds, they're wanting to get rid of their tax exempt status.
Yeah.
We see them basically with even Antonin Scalia, God rest his soul, but Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, whenever they sit here and are part of a 9-0 decision that the gentleman from Maryland that they mistakenly deported to El Salvador should come home, when even Clarence Thomas and Alito are saying that and Trump defies them, we are in very dangerous territory.
Yeah.
And the fact that we are seeing law firms basically being extorted to give free legal services to the Trump administration select causes, and then you see all these news networks that are in lawsuits with Trump settle with him before he even takes off.
Oh, my God.
All the pillars of civil society that keep this system in check with checks and balances, those balances are wavering. And I will sit here and say it right here today. I believe if he thinks he can get away with it, he will seek a third term. And I don't sit there and say that that's hyperbole. He himself has said it, and everybody used to sit there and say, oh, Trump's just trolling the libs. Right. He's sitting there trying to make them mad. It's like everything that he has said that he wanted to do, he has at least tried to do it. He tried to overturn an election 4 years ago, and not too many people took him seriously to think that not seize absolute power if he could do it. And we see him palling around with El Salvador's self-proclaimed coolest dictator ever. But with every single like democratically elected leader that were once friends of the United States, he has nothing but contempt and scorn for them. So, and I hate to sit there and say it, but on a geopolitical level, America is no longer the good guy in the world.
No.
And the fact that it took less than 100 days for that reality to change just says a lot about the direction of this president and the fact that the people who used to be the guardrails to try and rein him in, they are either out of the administration or they have acquiesced and just said they're going to go along to get along.
How long will it take for us? I mean, obviously, Trump's got to get the hell out of there. But how long is that going to take to repair those relationships? Because I mean, we are just firebombing everything.
I mean, the relationships that we built were basically the product of 80 years.
Yes, since World War freaking II.
And they were carefully cultivated. And we can sit there and say there were friction points during the Cold War. There were friction points whenever we decided to go into Iraq the second time.
Of course, yeah.
But at the end of the day, the Danes were there for us. They suffered more casualties fighting in the War on Terror than any other country, including ours, in terms of their population. And what are we attempting to do? We're sitting there saying, we're going to take Greenland, want to or not.
Right.
And saying to the Canadians, you're going to be our 51st state. Well, in the War of 1812, that did not work out quite so well for everybody that. And when you have a country that was willing to fight and die alongside us in the hills of Afghanistan and on the fields of Iraq, booing the national anthem with zeal, that just tells you how much this administration has torched our relationships around the world. And I can sit there and say, like, when Barack Obama was president, I think he was on a glide path just ignoring the rest of the world. But there's a difference between ignoring the rest of the world and doing, as you said earlier, just flipping the bird to basically one, except for the people who were once our adversaries, like China, like Russia. And you can sit there and say, well, we're throwing tariffs on China to the point that there's no trade between us, but we are basically undercutting all of our alliances that held China in, and China is taking full advantage of that fact.
Well, and, you know, I look at the relationships that we have from, you know, being involved with from George W. Bush and Africa, trying to help them with AIDS and USAID and all of the things that we were part of, and you know, the savings, we haven't done jack squat except hurt ourselves and the people that we depend on most are farmers and business owners and all that, and for what?
Basically, I said to own the lips. To satisfy the ego of one man. And to your earlier question, how long will it take Joe Biden a lot of his flaws? I could sit there and say he and his administration earnestly sought to rebuild relationships around the world that were strained, not even as fully as they have been in the last 90 days. But for 4 years, those relationships were strained. But Joe Biden did everything that he could to repair those relationships and to make America a leader again in the world. And we see, the American people, for better or worse, elected Donald Trump again. And so the rest of the world does not trust us. And I can sit there and say, I did some work with some overseas entities, and they are just sitting there going, WTF.
Y'all. Yeah. Well, we're talking with Carlton Huffman, GOP insider. And what I think is frustrating is all of these tariffs, the companies that are affected, you know, you talk about the overseas folks, it's going to cost them so much money to move everything to the States and move all, and all they got to do is just wait it out for 3 years. Well, it's going to suck for a little while, but then they're just going to go right back. So none of this is actually going to help. It's going to truly, truly hurt the American family and businesses. This is ridiculous.
I mean, the big power corporations like Apple, like Amazon, they can weather this.
Oh, God, yeah.
But the Main Street small business folks that, just like textile industry in my case and other cases around the country, you're still getting parts and materials from almost every corner of the world. You're not going to make it. And so many small businesses are not going to make it, which just goes against everything that they sit there and said, that we're just going to bring manufacturing back to the United States. Well, all these car companies around the world, they are looking at it. It's cheaper to go to Mexico. It's even cheaper to go to Europe with all the supposed regulations and big government that they have over there. It is easier for them to look elsewhere. And just to pivot from the economic side of view to the political side of view, basically all these political parties around the world that are anti-United States or anti-populist, they're the ones in the driver's seat right now. Canada, like Pierre, Trudeau's party was looking like it was dead.
Yeah.
And now it's going to turn around and probably win in a big margin in the Canadian election. And you saw J.D. Vance go over to Europe and pal around with neo-Nazis and neo-fascists.
Right.
For them to get trounced at the polls in Germany. But what does that say to the Europeans? What does that say to democratic forces around the world where we are no longer going to stand with Ukraine? We are no longer going to stand with our democratic allies. We look at Saudi Arabia, we look at Turkey, we look at China and Russia and say, that's who we want to be as Americans.
What do the Democrats and Republicans, what do they have to do to stop this? I mean, especially the slow march towards authoritarianism that, I mean, we're close to a darn constitutional crisis just about every day. Like, what can they do?
I mean, you saw what Cory Booker did, and it was one of those things that a lot of people sit there and say, well, he didn't change a vote, he did not overturn an election, but it's like, you have to set the stage of sitting there saying that, okay, America, we got the message that open borders were not a success, and checking people if they use the wrong pronouns is not a success. That we have to basically say, all these cultural fights, I'm not saying surrender on them, but I'm like, you've got to deprioritize those. You have to sit there and say, for these Republicans who voted for Trump because they hope for a better economy, if you acknowledge the mistake that you made, we're going to lock arms with you. We need to see Democrats win in Virginia and New Jersey this November, and that will send the warning flare to the Republicans in Congress. You need to change your ways. And when the Republicans go for this huge tax cut bill, which they are trying to push through, which will spike the deficit by $4 trillion over 5 years. This is something, and cut Medicare by $800 billion.
Yeah.
You have to message on these issues to sit there and show voters how this is going to hurt, and that might peel enough Republicans away to tank some of these initiatives, and as they lose political altitude, Trump will have to pare back some of those ambitions. But even if they push through some of these things legislatively, it will spark the resistance to do what they need to do at the ballot box. And we have to win the House, and we have to do whatever we can do in Wisconsin and around the country. Retain the governor's mansions that you have and take back the ones that you have lost. That will set the stage for 2028, where if Trump decides to go for a third term or if J.D. Vance is in the driver's seat, we have shown America the hellscape that has been the Trump administration, and the Democrats can then offer something better as an alternative.
Well, it's like we can never do this again.
Never.
You know, and it's funny. So, like, I mean, I invite Republicans on the show, and to be fair, Carthen is not a Democrat. You know, just for people that are listening, that is not him. But I think that there are... I was in a room full of Democrats this past week talking about what they need to do and what we need to do. And I said, you have to have an open heart. You have to understand and accept people that might not have been there the whole time and might not, you know, think the same thing that you do on every single thing, because these issues, they're too important. And the issues are, you know, authoritarianism, free speech, true freedom. And I think that there's, I don't know, you know, we got just a couple seconds left. I don't know if what the future is for the Republican Party, if there even is one.
I want to say it has gone MAGA and probably will remain so for the rest of yours in my lifetime.
Really? You think it's gone?
Unless they receive such a beating at the ballot box over the next few elections, got no choice but to change, like the Democrats dealt with that back in the 1990s.
Right.
Unless
on.
They're going to continue.
Carlton Huffman, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate you, brother. Always good to see you. Love you, man. Stick around. You got my thoughts here after this. And appreciate your time, Carlton, here on Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network.